Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. While we were away on sabbatical, we traveled to the islands, scuba dove with some sharks, climbed a mountain, went skiing, read some books. Oh, you guys know me too well. No, we actually replaced about 80% of the flooring in our house. It was fun. We did some other projects. We capped it off by trading in Kim's car for a minivan yesterday, which I'm not saying I have to drive it, okay? All right? Daniel had to get rid of his car, and ours was like identical to his, and we're like, look, if this isn't cool enough for Daniel, then it's not cool enough for us anymore. But no, we had a great time. Got to spend a lot of time with the kiddos. It was really neat to help Tucker with his first 2 weeks of school. The first day, we took him in, we drove him there, we walked him to his class. We were there like fourth in line because we were there way too early to pick him up, and we're like, hey, Tucker! And he gets in the car and he goes, can I ride the bus tomorrow? Because it's a cool little wristband if you ride the bus. So he wakes up really early by himself, all right? And he gets out there and we walk in there and he loves it. It's going well, but it's been neat to spend that time with him. When it comes to the book of Proverbs, if you were going to summarize with one word what the book of Proverbs is about, without using the word Proverbs, what would that be? Paul?
Wisdom.
All right? Wisdom. And someone please give me a definition for wisdom. That's right. That's good. Noah? Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. All right? It leads to wisdom, right? But what about wisdom? How would you define it? What do we mean by wisdom? I've been gone that long. What did you people do to them? Maddie? Okay, being intelligent? That's definitely a part of it. Like one of the middle schoolers said, knowing what is right and what is wrong. And I'd agree. That's pretty good. But let's say that, you know, I wanted to take my keys, and there's a little electrical outlet down here. And I wanted to stick my keys in the electrical outlet. Would that be the right thing to do? Would that be the smart thing to do? No, it wouldn't. But let's say I knew it. I knew that it was going to hurt me if I stuck my keys in the electrical outlet. But I did it anyways. I knew it! But is that wisdom? No, it's knowing it and doing it, right? It's knowing it and doing it. Let's just throw out a hypothetical, right? Let's say that you're struggling with obeying your parents. And I know that's probably not any of you in this room. Let's say you're struggling there. You know that God has commanded you to do what? I actually want to hear you say it. You know that God has commanded you to do what? Okay, as much as it hurts, yes. God has commanded you to do that. So you know, God, you want me to do this. But when it comes down to it, when you don't do that, or when you grumble and you complain and have a bad attitude, then you are not being wise. All right? It's really easy for everyone to consider themselves wise because you know the right thing to do. You do. You have been taught since you were two that the Bible is true. And on and on and on. And you know about Moses. And you know about Daniel. And you know how you should stand up for your faith. And you know how you shouldn't watch bad things that are immoral. And over again. But that's not wisdom. It is knowing it. And it is doing it. And the book of Proverbs is an argument for wisdom. It's going to define wisdom, the fear of the Lord, a healthy respect and reverence of God. It's going to illustrate it in different ways. It's going to talk about the sluggard and how his house is overgrown with thorns and thistles. It's going to reiterate wisdom. It's going to give you some really practical things. And if you've been doing the read-through, if you're doing the Old Testament part of it, I think today you get into the first three chapters. And we're going to do Proverbs for the month of September while I figure out what we're going to do for the rest of the school year, since I'm back now. And I'm excited about it. We're going to spend a lot of time in chapter 3. All right? So in chapter 3, here's the title of our lesson. We have a father's astounding argument. A father's astounding argument. And his argument clearly is going to be for what? That's right, Joel. For wisdom. I can just read your mind. We have a father pleading to his son to be wise, to know the right thing and to do it. And this just fits in beautifully with the rest of the book. Is there anything that your dad has ever tried to convince you to do? He's made an argument for. Do I need to talk to your parents? Is there anything that you can think of? Michael DeRyan. Work hard. And obviously that worked. You believed in him, right? He wants you to work hard. Elizabeth. Okay, they want you to. They have an argument for that, right? And they present that argument and they say, look, you need to make good grades. And then they normally have what we call the hammer. All right? If you don't make good grades, what's going to happen to you? So it makes you say, okay, I want to make good grades. All right? That encourages me to do that. Or, instead of the hammer, it can be the promise or the treat, the reward. Oh, if you make good grades, I'll let you go to Cece's because the pizza is delicious. And you can even eat all you want because you made those good grades. And you're like, ah, I'm in. What else has your dad tried to convince you of, Paul?
Be a responsible driver.
To be a responsible driver. And there's all sorts of reasons for that, all right? I want Paul to let me know when he's driving. I think that would be a helpful thing so I can make sure I'm not in that same area. My dad tried to convince me, he would make a clever argument all too often, that weed pulling was fun. He would get out there and be like, hey, Justin, look, there's a weed. Look, you get down like a stance and, oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. You know why? Because he wanted me to pull weeds. Was his argument a good argument? No, it wasn't. It's not fun. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Okay. But he wanted to convince me of that. This father's argument for wisdom is a perfect argument. Because it comes from God. He's going to use the character of God. He's going to use the nature of God. He's going to say, look, if you listen and do what God wants you to do, your life will be better. Your life will be better. And that's his argument. Now, how is he going to do that? And you can write some notes down if you want to, but I'll get into the outline in just a moment. All right. I know some of you are really detailed outline people and you'll get angry at me if you get off. So if you want to hold on, you can. With our father's astounding argument for wisdom, we're going to see the prompts. We're going to see Papa's prompts. He's going to prompt them to do something. All right. Like when Dale was up here and you did the birthday Sunday thing and he said, all right, I want you to make sure you sign the birthday cards for the October people. All right. Because you got to be kind to the October people because they almost made it into September. Okay, that's like so depressing. They almost made it into it, but then they got stuck in October. And, you know, all right, so sign that. We have a lot of October people, don't we? I still love you, all right? He's going to prompt them to do something. Now, if the prompt was, I need all of you to go eat a donut. Most of you would be like, okay, all right, I'm in. I don't need to convince you much, you know, because they're yummy. All right, because they're good on the tongue. They're ooh. Now, but if it was cauliflower or if it was Brussels sprouts, now I love you, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to go down that fool's errand of an argument. All right, but I'd have to spruce it up. Oh, that cauliflower is, it's nutritious. And you'd be like, bad argument, except for the healthy people that are in here. All right. The first prompt is found in verse 1. Now, I'm just going to give you some examples, and then we'll come back to verse 1. All right? My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So the prompt is twofold. It's really, keep my commandments. All right? Keep my commandments. What it is that I am telling you. Another prompt would be verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. What you work hard for, what you receive as wages or what you grow, I want you to take part of it and I want you to give that to the Lord. Bring it to the temple. And for us, it would be bring it to church for the service of the Lord. But he doesn't give them consequences. If you don't do this, this will happen. All right. The consequences are kind of implied from it. But he gives them a promise. So he gives them a prompt and he gives them a promise. Well, how does this work? Keep my commandments. And if you do that, you'll have life and peace. That's two pretty good things to have right there. All right. Life and peace. You see that in verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. And then for honor the Lord from your wealth. Well, why should I do that? Verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, that's kind of a hard concept for us to understand, right? If my wealth is 10 donuts and you want me to give 3 of my donuts away, how is that increasing my donuts? And some people look at verses like this and they take it the wrong way and they say, look, if I sacrifice and give to the Lord, then rain upon me your prosperity. All right. What he's saying is generally in life, you will be better off and you will be overall blessed because you're trusting God. And the example here is the farmer or the worker who takes his crop and takes what he has and he gives them to the Lord, not thinking, ooh, I'm really going to need that. And then the next go around, God blesses them even more with a greater crop and a greater intake because of their trust. That's the promise. All right. So in verse 1, we have Papa's first prompt, and I gave it to you, but we're going to break it down a little bit. All right, Papa's first prompt. Does anyone call their dad Papa, by the way? Anyone in there? We got mostly dad people. Some of you call your dad nothing. What about father? Do you have any fathers? Well, I know you're not a father. You call him father? Sir? Got some sirs? Taskmaster? Any of y'all? Yeah, okay. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let's look at these words real quick. Let's start with forget. Do not forget my teaching. Now, we forget lots of things. Every day I use my keys, and every day I forget where my keys are. The worst is when I'm doing something and I'm going around and I'm like, I can't find my keys. And I realize that they're like in my mouth. I'll throw quick and I'm looking around and I'm like, where are my keys? Or, you know, they're in this little pocket or something like that. I forget. I have a special place. You walk in the garage door, you open up, boom, hooks. Keys go there. Because you know why? Otherwise, I will forget. But it doesn't always happen. All right. But the moment I get home from church, I got to get back into my shorts. All right. It was beautiful on sabbatical. I wore like cut-off t-shirts every day. It was amazing, right? I love that, okay? So, I forget. I'll leave them in my pocket and then I'll hang my pants up. And then I'm running around at the last minute trying to get to a Iwana or whatever it may be. And I can't find them. I forget those things. Now, I know that this would never happen to you. Your parents tell you something. And you forget it. Never happened to any of you, right? That happens a lot. Now, sometimes we do that on purpose. It's convenient that we forgot it. But you know what? We have other things going on. I mean, there's only so much knowledge that is in this brain. And when someone crumbs something in, the other one goes up. Sometimes you have every intention. Hey, don't forget to clean your room. And you're like, oh yeah. Let me just finish this video game real quick. Or write this novel or whatever it is that you kids do these days. And then I'll go clean my room. And then it's time. Well, did you clean your room? Oh! I forgot. I had every intention of doing it, but I just forgot. Or sometimes that's the convenient thing if you don't want to do it. My son, do not forget my teaching. Don't do it. Don't forget it. Don't let it escape your mind. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. And we get that every Sunday and every Wednesday, right? You come and you sit down and you listen and you're eager and it's, oh yeah, the Bible is amazing, this is great, yeah. And then you walk out and your mom and dad say, hey, so what'd you learn tonight? I don't know. You don't know. Well, you can know, but sometimes we forget those things. But he says, not only do you, don't forget it, that's the negative aspect of it, you need to keep it. Alright? It's not that you just don't forget, you keep it. How many of you have an animal? You have an animal, all right? Emily Anderson, what kind of animal do you have? A little brother? You have two little brothers. You have a Taurus? A Taurus like the car?
No, like a turtle.
A turtle? Don't they have germs?
Yeah.
Oh. Does it bite you? What do you do with your turtle, tortoise? You put little katana blades on its back and give it a little... You feed him. Where do you keep him? In a flower pot. In your room? In the garage? Outside. Why do you put him in the flower pot? Does your dad chase him with a lawnmower? That turtle, I gotta feed him again. No, you keep him. You like your turtle for some reason. So you keep him. Most of us have fences, and if we have a dog, it keeps the dog in. Now, some of you don't like your dog, so you open up the fence and you say, go, go, go. But most of the time, you want to keep them. My son, do not forget my teaching. Not only do I not forget it, but let your heart keep my commandments. This is, make it near and dear to you. Your heart, your very being. Your very being needs to keep these commandments. Don't let them escape from you, but keep them near to you. Keep them under lock and key. We all have something that's precious, right? And you keep it in a special place. Some of you keep it this high because that's the highest that your sibling can reach. And you know that if you keep it up there, that it's safe. Or you lock it away and you put the key somewhere clever, which is great unless you lose the key or the combination, which happens to me because I forget sometimes. Keep them. And do you see how that's more impactful than, hey, just don't forget? No, don't forget, but you need to keep it. You need to treasure it. And he says, my teaching and my commandments. Now, the understanding here, this is a dad speaking to his son. And he's saying, look, what I'm teaching you about life, what I'm teaching you about the Lord, I want you to don't forget it. Keep it and understand those things. But if the dad's teaching is not consistent with Scripture, then do you keep it? No. But the understanding here is, here's a dad who loves the Lord and is teaching his son the ways of the Lord. And you need to be able to take those things and you need to keep them. How many times does the teenager go off to college? I'm free. I'm on my own. Mom and dad aren't waking me up anymore. Mom and dad aren't making me go to church. I'm doing everything on my own. They have forgotten everything. They have not kept those teachings and those commandments. Even though they brought you to Sunday school every Sunday and they brought you every Wednesday, never really sank in. It never was really your thing. You never trusted in Christ. Or maybe you did trust in Christ, but those safeguards that your parent had put in place, you're like, blow the doors open on those babies. And ultimately, it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. The promise is found in verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. This is the promise. Length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Now let's stop for a moment. How much would the world pay for this? I have a product. I have a program, a 5-step program. And it will make you live longer. And your days will be peaceful. People would be pulling those credit cards out. People would be running over other people. You know, like at Christmas in the toy store, and there's that one special toy, and it was like, oh, I gotta have a longer life? Peace? Oh, I'm all in. But they don't want to submit their lives to the Lord. They want to do things their own way and come up with their own solutions. But here the dad is saying, look, ultimately all of this is you trusting God. All of this is you following after God for these things to be able to happen. Length of days and years of life. Where else do we see this promise? Well, just in Proverbs 4:10, he goes on to say, hear my son and accept my sayings and the years of your life will be many. So is he really saying that if you honor and obey your parents, your life will be longer? Yes, he's saying that in a general way. Let's look again at Ephesians 6. Going to the New Testament, Paul is reiterating this and he's connecting it back to the Ten Commandments. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we could stop there and be like, that's done, let's go, let's pray. No further explanation needs to be made. No promise needs to be given to you. Obey your parents. But, do your parents ever give they ask you to do something? And you go, but why? And they give you, because I said so. Oh, you love that one, right? You love it. Ooh. And you go, well, yeah, you're right. Okay. It's not the best explanation. Okay. But is it acceptable? Yes. That's all they need to give you. Because I said so. And you know what? God said that you need to obey me because I have your best interest in mind. But there's a promise with this. It's not just you have to do it. You want to do it because of the promise. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you. I'm assuming most of you would like life to be well. You would like it to be satisfactory and enjoyable. Okay? Honor and obey your parents. Keep the commandments of the Lord, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, is this an ironclad guarantee? Has there ever been a young Christian who obeyed his parents but lost their life? Yeah. Yeah. There are people, you think of someone like Stephen, or he might not necessarily be a young person, but Stephen in the book of Acts loved the Lord. And because he loved the Lord, what happened to him? He died. That didn't prolong his days, but in general terms speaking, this is a reality. Does this promise always come true? Think of it this way. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Paul feared the Lord, right? Did it prolong his earthly life? He was killed because of his faith. Peter, killed because of his faith. On and on and on. All these martyrs killed because of their faith. Well, one thing you can say, was their life extended? Absolutely, because they're now in eternity, right? They're in eternity. But overall, generally speaking, fearing the Lord, doing what is right, will keep you out of His wrath and will guide you in the paths that He wants you to be in. The same way with your parents. All right, any of you tried the whole I'm running away from home thing when you were a kid? None of you? Goody two-shoes. You were scared, weren't you? All right, Keith. I tried once. I had my backpack. I had my plan. I think I was like 6 or 7 or something like that, and I was gone. But then I was like, wait, I remembered. I can't leave the general radius of this spot. Actually, some people found me and brought me back. I only made it like 50 feet down the road or something like that. It wasn't well thought out. I probably ran out of Dr. Peppers or something. When you are in your parents' house, you may or may not have noticed this, but they feed you. So you have food, which prolongs your life. And they clothe you to protect you from the elements. And they give you, as they often remind you, a roof over your head. If you stay under the care and the guidance and the protection of your parents, then naturally you are going to live longer than the rebellious, hard-hearted kid who says, I don't need you. I am gone. I am out the door. But also keeping in mind, in the Old Testament, if there was a rebellious, wicked, disobedient child, what did they do? It's your parents' favorite story to tell you when you're misbehaving. They would stone them. They would kill them. So obviously their life was not prolonged. But in generalities, your life is longer on this earth, and it's definitely longer in eternity if you'll fear the Lord and do what He says. Challenging though, right? Knowing the right thing is one thing. Are you going to do it? And it'll help us do it if we remember that promise. If we remember that promise. The second prompt. And I was hoping to get through three prompts, but that's not going to happen. We're just going to focus on two. Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on your heart. So the prompt starts with that first part. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. And then it tells you how to carry that out. Kindness and truth. You know what kindness is. You're going to go home today. You're going to hang out with your siblings. You're going to hang out with your parents. And your interaction with them, that's kindness. Right? Right? You mean you share things and you're interested in one another and you love. And okay, maybe not. Maybe not. Let me give another example. All right. Kindness would be reaching out to someone new. Kindness would be thinking of someone else's interests before you. You had an opportunity to display kindness even when people lined up, all the September people. They lined up and they would share things about their life, and you can exhibit kindness by doing what? You don't want to say it because you're like, I didn't do it. Listening to them and caring about, wow, that is interesting. Wow, that's neat. I'm glad I got to know that person a little bit more. That is kindness. Living as Jesus lived. Always putting others in front of Himself. And truth, what is right? What is accurate? What is reality? It is, this is something that is highly debated in our day and age. People will say that there is no truth. You can't know absolute truth. What's true to Luke isn't true to Michael. So they have to get together in powwows and discuss and share their feelings and come up with some sort of an agreement. No, this truth, what God says is truth. Thy word, Psalm 119, is truth. Your word is truth. So God's truth and His reality and the teachings about Him and kindness, don't let them leave you. And Hubbard says this: these virtues should influence every choice and movement. Every choice, every movement. If you just stop for a moment, when you had a fork in the road, when you could be like an evil monster and yell and scream at people, or you could be kind and gentle, if you just stop for a moment and go, God says kindness is the best way. And you did the kind thing, that's the best choice. Always, that is the best option. These virtues should influence every choice and movement. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I talk to this person? All those things. Just like the last one, it said, don't forget His commandments. It says, don't let kindness and truth leave you. All right, let's pretend that kindness and truth, let's pick an animal that everyone has. Let's say that's a turtle. Okay, you have two turtles, and they're out of their flower pot, and they're kindness and truth. Emily's like, I'm never talking again. I want to make sure they don't leave me. All right, my papaw, not papa, my papaw, who he lived behind us. If we ever got a turtle, you know what he would do? He would drill a hole in the shell. And I know I kind of made fun of you for having a turtle, but we had turtles too. And then you take a wire and you tie it, and then you have a leash. So you could walk around with that turtle on a leash. That baby ain't going nowhere. All right. The turtle gets a little too, get back here. All right. Don't let them leave you. Kindness and truth. Don't let them escape your thought process. Don't let it escape your thought process, because when that happens, anger and things creep in. But instead, don't just not let them leave you. Bind them on your neck. Keep them in a very special, special place. I want you to take kindness and truth, and I want you to take a staple gun, and I want you to, and keep them Right there. So every time you look in the mirror, kindness and truth. And I know some of you are thinking, this is cool, I'm going to get a tattoo. Mom, Justin said I could. Kindness, truth. It's not what I'm saying. All right, we're talking in figurative terms here. Kindness and truth. Bind them on your neck. Tie them to you. That's who you are. That's what you think about. It's a weight upon you that makes you think and consider it. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Your heart is your very essence, your very being. Your decisions, your interaction with people should be ruled by truth and by kindness. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And it reminds us of the Ten Commandments, how God wrote them on a tablet. He could have just said, hey, Moses, here you go. Take them. And Moses probably would have got halfway down and would have been like, what was seven again? Oh, man. So God wrote them down for him to have. So as a physical reminder. And the idea is we're writing it upon our heart so that it's always, always there. Well, what's the promise? And again, the writer doesn't have to do this. God doesn't have to do this to the inspiration of His Word. He could just say, look, you be kind and truthful. Done. Do it. But there's a promise. And the promise spurs us on to do it. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. You will find favor and good repute in the sight of man. God will be pleased with you. God will show you favor. Mankind will look upon you favorably because of your kindness, because of your truthfulness. Good repute, a good name. Now, we know that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So this is a generality. Some people will look at you because you're a Christian, because you're kind and truthful, and they'll hate you because of it. But in general, you know, everyone's like, oh, no one likes me, or I don't know how to make friends. And this is saying, be kind. Be truthful. And you will gain favor with God and man. Gain favor with God and man. Now, I want to pause right here and we'll get to prompt number 3, Lord willing, on Wednesday. And I want you to think about this. Wisdom is knowing and doing. Okay? So just sitting here, I remember thinking in high school when Rocky would teach a lesson on something, and I would go, what? Are you kidding? I've been doing the wrong thing this whole time. Why didn't anyone ever tell me? And then when I got a little older, I was like, oh, wait, no, people were telling you the whole time. But you forgot. You didn't keep it. You didn't bind it. You didn't write it. What are you going to do with this? How is it going to impact your life? For some of you, when it comes to lesson time, music's over, you sit down, you turn your mind off. Then lessons... What are you going to do with this? Is it going to impact your life? Maybe for some of you, you look at this and you say, I have no intention or desire to honor and obey my parents. I just don't. That is a huge red flag. That is a huge red flag that you most likely are not in Christ. You are still in your sin. There is no wisdom in you about anything. Or you might say, you know what, but you just don't know this person. I'm not going to be kind to that person. Or you know what? I just got to get by lying here. All right? I'm not going to pass this class if I don't cheat like everybody else. I can't be truthful there. Those are red flags. Those are warning signs. And I would encourage you to test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Repent and trust God. For the Christian, remind yourself the best possible way to live your life. Extended days, peace will be well with you, favor with God and man, is to do this. It's to apply what the author is saying right here. And the beautiful part, you guys get to go home, you get to go get that car with your parents, most of you, and you get to immediately start practicing this. They will fall over dead. No, I'm not saying you want them to do that. they'll be shocked. Most of you. For some of you, they'll be like, this is the norm. But this is the things that we want to do. All right? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so unworthy of you. We are a sinful people with unclean hearts and unclean lips. But you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, as the perfect sacrifice. And whoever will believe upon Him has eternal life. And not only eternal life, eternal forgiveness. They are now whiter than snow, washed by the blood of the Lamb. And how do we act now? What do we do now? We listen to our parents. We listen to the teaching that they have about you. We obey them. We obey your teaching. We are truthful people. We are kind people. And that is the best course of action in our life. And we are foolish to refuse to do so. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord. Thank you for your grace and mercy. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.